Welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you with us. Hello, Texans. Huge game at Indy this Sunday with the Texans 4-2. The good times are rolling. Let's hope they continue. The Colts are always tough, no matter who's playing, what's going on, but they are loaded, man. No Andrew Luck, no problem for them so far. They've had some problems, but they've gotten through it. And here they are hosting an AFC South for first place showdown. Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers, always in first place. 16 locations, two new ones opening soon, Wallaceville Road and Huntsville. The new food truck is custom designed to bring the steak burgers, fries, and frozen custard you love to your event. Freddy's original double steak burger is a real game changer, so check that one out. All right, check this out. Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts, we got him on, and let's start the conversation. I asked Matt about how was their win over Kansas City. Both the Colts and Texans are coming off wins over the Chiefs. Colts did it the week before, so how did that go?
It was huge. I mean, it was huge, especially considering the Colts arguably let one slip away the week before against the Oakland Raiders at home. They didn't play well. It was kind of an uncharacteristic game on a lot of different levels. So to be able to come back and play, you know, one of the best teams in the AFC in their home field or on their home field on Sunday Night Football in primetime and just dominate them up front the way they did, I thought it was a big tone setter. It was really just the exact same game plan that the Texans used, you know, a couple days ago to knock off the Chiefs. So ball control and dominating the game up front was the blueprint, and the Colts are built to win that way. So are the Texans. So that's really what makes this game so compelling on Sunday. You have two heavyweights, and I just can't wait to get it going.
It's
going to
be something. Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, with us. Is Marlon Mack maybe the, quote, star of the offense? Dare I say that? How do you look at that kind of thing? Who's on the marquee for the Colts offense?
I would say it's two guys. I would say two guys kind of split the headliner, if you will. That would be T.Y. Hilton and then Marlon Mack. And then if there's enough room on the marquee, I would put all five guys up front on the offensive line because, I mean, knock on wood, if you're a Colts fan, all five of those guys up front have played every single snap this season. They're the only offensive line in the NFL that can say that. And, you know, this was the unit last year that paved the way for a couple of 200-yard rushing performances and multiple 100-yard games for Marlon Mack. And they all got re-signed and stuck around the offseason. And they've been healthy this entire 2019 campaign. And, you know, that's how the Colts want to win. That's their identity right now. They are. It's really kind of bizarro world for Colts fans that have been following this team for the last, you know, 15, 20 years. They're so used to seeing, you know, Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck throw the ball for, you know, 350 yards per game. They're just used to seeing, you know, the Colts be top five in passing and near the bottom in rushing. And this year under Frank Reich, it's completely the opposite. You know, they're a top five rushing team, near the bottom in the NFL and passing and yards per attempt and all that stuff in terms of throwing the ball. So the Colts definitely have a blue-collar identity. They're going to stick with the run. They're going to run the ball. They've got a great offensive line, and Marlon Mack is proving to be one of the best running backs in the NFL in terms of his vision, his patience running the football. He's a great pass protector. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. So as far as that part of their offense is concerned, they're loaded. And Jacoby Brissett can throw the ball, too. You know, we saw him throw over 300 yards one time this season. He just hasn't been asked to do that because their rushing attack has been so consistent.
Colts voice Matt Taylor joining us on Texans Radio. Jacoby Brissett, what's he doing better? What is his game like at this stage of his career, Matt?
So Jacoby Brissett, as of right now, is a really good decision maker. You know, he only has three picks. He's made a couple of bad decisions. He's had a few hiccups. Where he's turned the ball inside the red zone a time or two. But for the most part, I mean, three picks through five games, you can definitely live with that. Completing a much higher percentage of his passes now compared to when he was the full-time starter in 2017 with the Colts. I think he's over 65% completion percentage. And I think something, too, that gets taken for granted that's not going to show up in the box score is he's just very elusive in the pocket. He's a big guy. You just forget how big he is. He's 6'4", you know, 225, 230 pounds. He's a hard guy to bring down. There's been multiple cases this year where it looks like he's going to be sacked. He's dead to rights. And then somehow he shows off that strength and that brute force that he has to evade a sack and get rid of the football and escape the pocket. He's got a lot of Ben Roethlisberger in him in that regard. So he's getting better every game, but he's just making really good decisions, and he's been really good in the red zone as well. I think he leads the NFL in red zone touchdown passes with 9 of his 10 coming inside the 20-yard line. So he's done a very good job managing this offense, putting it in really good situations, changing the play at the line of scrimmage. I think that's the biggest thing from 2017 to now is his mastery of this offense has really taken off, because he's had essentially 2 full years and almost 2 off-seasons as the starting quarterback because of Andrew Luck's injuries and you know, some of those questionable things going into the seasons, and of course Andrew Luck deciding to retire about 2 weeks before this season started.
Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, with us on Texans Radio. What about the defense? Because when you beat the Chiefs, there I'm looking at it with no Darius Leonard, Clayton Gathers, Malik Hooker, yet you put together that kind of performance with only 13 points allowed in that game on the road. What's the Colts defense doing well? What are they like?
Well, in that game against the Chiefs, they really veered away from who they were in the secondary in terms of a tactic, you know. Under Matt Eberflus, they play a 4-3 defense. It's mostly kind of zone coverage, and teams have been kind of taking advantage of that with a high completion percentage. And they changed it up against Kansas City, where they played over 70% press man, man-to-man coverage. They got in the face of wide receivers. They really disrupted Travis Kelce, just like the Texans did. So I think that was the biggest difference. And like you said, without Darius Leonard, without Clayton Gathers, both of those guys should be back on the field this weekend. They've really gotten a lot of good play from their younger players, guys like Kari Willis, who's a rookie, George Odom, who's a second-year safety. Those guys stepped up big time against the Chiefs, and they've gotten some good, consistent play up front. Now, the biggest thing for me in my mind is their pass rush without Kamoko Touré. He's now on IR because of an ankle. He got hurt in the Chiefs game, so it's kind of next man up in that regard. Who do the Colts turn to? You know, Jabal Sheard is slowly but surely getting back to full health. He missed a lot of time dating back to training camp. So where is he at? Will they rely more on Al-Quandim Muhammad? Another thing they could do is they could move Tyquan Lewis from an interior player to an outside edge setter, which is what he did in college at Ohio State. But he's been banged up, and I don't think they really want to do that because they see him more long-term inside. So we'll see if they get in the pinch and have to go that route. But, yeah, definitely taking advantage of this Titus Howard situation for the Colts is something they want to look to, because the Texans have been really good at pass protection the last 2 weeks. As you guys know, no sacks in the last 2 ball games for Deshaun Watson. He's made, you know, opposing defenses pay. So the Colts want to get a more consistent pass rush in this game. And they've been good at times up front, but there's also been a handful of times where – you know, the well has gone dry in terms of, you know, winning the one-on-one matchups up front and disrupting opposing quarterbacks. So I think for the Colts, that's going to be paramount on getting after Deshaun Watson and getting him off his timing a little bit, because we've seen this rhythm and this quick passing game for the Texans take over in the last couple of ball games.
Matt Taylor, voice of the Indianapolis Colts, joining us on Texans Radio. Okay, so the Texans play the Raiders next. Coaches can't look ahead, but we can. Give me the scouting report on the Raiders, a team that did beat Indy in Indy. What do you think?
Well, in that game, I was really impressed with Josh Jacobs, you know, the rookie out of Alabama. He really ran the ball hard, ran it well, effectively. I think they ran for 188 yards on the Colts in that game. And that was the biggest problem, is the Colts got down early, and they just could never get back because they were on the field defensively a ton, because the Raiders' running game was just working so well. When I look back to that game offensively also, I mean, Derek Carr has one of the quickest triggers in the NFL, is getting rid of the football in about 2.4 seconds. So that negated a lot of the Colts' pass rush in that game. Defensively, they played very well against the Colts in the running game. I talked about the consistency the Colts have had. The one outlier as far as rushing the ball for Indianapolis was that Raiders game. Their front seven really did a nice job. They came down and they stacked the box with Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator. He was dedicated an extra person up front to make sure the Colts couldn't dictate things up front. That meant Jacoby Brissett had to drop back to throw more times than he would have liked. So it was just kind of a bad day for the Colts. They had a turnover in the red zone that game. They had a bunch of drops. It just got down early, and going into that game, the Raiders were kind of, a lot of people thought, you know, oh, they're just left for dead. Plus, they, you know, they play the next week in London, so they're looking past the Colts, and that just wasn't the case at all. So they kind of turned their season around after a slow start, a 1-2 start, and they got a jump started again against the Colts. And they're a darn good football team. Their record didn't show it at the time, but they came in and they gave the Colts a really bad taste. And but like I said, the Colts did a nice job of bouncing back the week after and knocking off the Chiefs. You just hope for the Colts' sake that we don't get into a week 13, 14, 15 scenario, and you look back to a week 3 game or week 4 game against the Raiders and say, yeah, what if, what could have been, how we not let that one slip away.
Yeah, the Texans are hoping that Carolina won't turn out that way for them as far as common opponents go or anything like that. Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts with us. All right, one more for you. You beat the Titans in Nashville, and they're a hard team to figure. One week pretty good, the next week not so much, and they're just coming off a loss to Denver. A lot of questions about them. What do you make of Tennessee? And maybe I'll throw in Jacksonville, too, even though you haven't faced them.
Yeah, it's for me, Mark. I mean, for my money right now, and this is just me talking, I don't know how you feel, but I think it's a two-horse race right now. I think both of those teams are done as far as really contending for the AFC South. I mean, when you don't have an idea of what your franchise quarterback situation is going to be there in Tennessee, I just think that sends a bad message, and it kind of permeates into the rest of the team and the rest of the locker room. Same thing with Jacksonville right now. I know Foles is eventually going to come back, but I think the Gardner-Minshew honeymoon is over. He's kind of limited. Their offense is limited with what they can do. So I think long-term, I just think it's the Colts and the Texans, and we're just going to have two epic matchups, you know, of course, starting Sunday and then in about a month or so down in Houston. I don't think it's hyperbole. I think these two games are going to directly decide who wins the AFC South, because I don't see Tennessee or Jacksonville getting their act together enough to the point where they can contend with either of these teams. So, you know, we're going to have, you know, typically in the past, we've always had, you know, a December matchup between these two squads, and it's you know, the de facto AFC South championship game. I think we're going to have two of those this year starting on Sunday, and this is a massive game on Sunday. You know this, I'm sure. I looked it up the other day. 9 of the last 10 AFC South championships have been won by either the Colts and the Texans. I don't think that's going to change this year.
Oh, yeah. It's a tremendous matchup, and everybody's going nuts here about the win over Kansas City, as I'm sure they are in Indy about your win over Kansas City, but it's all about Sunday with this divisional game. Matt, one more for you. I lied when I said one more before. The Indianapolis vibe, the fan base, when Andrew Luck retires, I know that's got to be devastating news for everybody, but here is the team doing well. Were the fans surprised? Are they back on board? Were they not on board? How do you define what's going on in the community around the Colts?
Well, I mean, certainly when it happened, it took the entire community by storm. I mean, it happened on a Saturday evening. You know, I don't want to rehash everything, but it wasn't planned to go out. It wasn't planned to happen that night. We actually had a preseason game against the Bears. It came out during the game, and then it was just, you know, I've never seen, you know, word start to spread throughout a stadium to the point where, I mean, no one was really paying attention to the game. Everybody was just on their phone. It was like a gigantic game of telephone, just trying to stay on top of the news. But you know, shortly after that, you know, I've just been really impressed with the short amount of time in which it took the Colts and the players in the locker room, the entire organization, to say, okay, it happened. There was a lot of things that led to Andrew Luck getting to this point where he wants to decide that football is not in his best interest anymore, and that's okay. Let's roll. He's not coming back. We wish him the best, and we want him to be happy and healthy on several different levels. But at the same point, Jacoby Brissett's a pretty darn good football player. He's a pretty smart quarterback. And this team has more depth, and it's better suited to compete now for the long term than it has in the last 15 years because of the way they're building it. They're drafting well. They're developing guys. They're saving their money. They're being prudent in free agency. They're just trying to build from within and re-sign and reward guys that do it the right way. So there's more depth on this team right now than there has been in the recent past. And that's why I think they're still in a good position. Obviously, they're 3-2. At this point last year, they were 1-5. So they're obviously off to a much better start now than they did last year, and they still made the playoffs a season ago. So that's why the optimism and the fan support has really never wavered. Of course, when Andrew Luck retired, it was, the local radio station was live and local for, you know, 4 or 5 straight days. It didn't take a break from the topic, and I totally understand that. It was an unprecedented thing and maybe the top sports storyline to ever happen in this market. But football players, as you know, Mark, they crave normalcy. They crave routine. So they just wanted to get back to that as quickly as possible. And they've been able to kind of compartmentalize with everything that's happened this season. And to be honest with you, I mean, that was only about a month and a half ago. But in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot that's happened since then. It feels like an eternity since Andrew Luck has, you know, decided to retire. And it just feels like it was so long ago. And kind of out of sight, out of mind right now in terms of the narrative and the storyline of this Colts season.
Very well put. I said to you in a text, I think, the season goes at warp speed for those involved directly, and it seems like a lot of time has passed, and the Colts certainly have a new identity. Matt, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
My pleasure, Mark. Safe travels.
There's Matt Taylor, voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Now my buddy Andre Ware, let's get to him and talk to Dre about how the Texans are doing, in his opinion, what's looking good to him.
Well, I think anytime you get the type of offensive line play that we're getting, that affects everything. And being able that, coupled with getting to the quarterback, maybe not so much sacking the quarterback, but just forcing the ball out of his hands quickly, you marriage those two things together, and I think you get the results the Texans have had in the last couple of weeks.
And I think with the offensive line, what are your thoughts on the way they've been able to run the football? All but one game, and that was a win against the Chargers on the road. They've been able to run the football pretty well, and if you told me they were going to do that with Lamar Miller out for the year and the way camp began, you thought Deontay Foreman would figure into the mix somehow. These guys are doing a good job, Hyde and Duke Johnson.
Yeah, they really are, and it's because holes are there to run through. I think when you start an offensive line or start to put it together, the fastest way that you develop continuity within that group is just allow them to fire off the football, and that's when an offensive line is having fun. If you're initiating contact rather than waiting on somebody to come to you and having their pass protect. It also makes pass protection a lot easier because guys aren't just firing up the field. They have to defend the run first and then approach the quarterback. So you're giving yourself an extra split second or so in terms of pass protection. So I think one is certainly goes hand in hand with the other.
Yeah, it's a great point you make because that's what the Colts did last year, right, with those two rookie linemen. And early on, they were doing a lot of passing, and then Frank Reich got down with the running game, and that really helped open things up for the passing game. What about this team, though, Dre? They do run the football well, the Colts. Is it Mac? Is it the line? It's a combination, right?
Yeah, I happen to think it's one of the best lines in all of football, and they're young, so it's going to grow together. But, when you get Marlon Mack going and the other backs that they have behind a very talented offensive line, that takes a lot of pressure off Jacoby Brissett to not have to win games with his arm. They're gonna be in a lot of close games because of the way that they play, but because of the style of play in which they use. But they've been effective to the tune of 3 games, and you could argue that they lost an open overtime game to start the season and close them in just about all of them. It could have gone either way, but that's just how the Colts are built this year. He is a guy, Jacoby Brissett, that's going to take care of the football. Very smart, got all the reps throughout the offseason, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. So you mix that with a running game and the defense that they have and the way they're playing defensively, it makes for a good football team.
Well, if it weren't the Colts, the Texans' nemesis, I think the Jacoby Brissett story would be a feel-good story all around the league, but certainly it's not here in Houston because the Colts are a major factor in this thing. But it is a nice story for Brissett, the fact that he's been able to play at a pretty high level with Andrew Luck retiring a couple of weeks before the season started.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they could have gotten a better anyone better in there in terms of being able to handle that type of situation. He's a very mature young man. I think when Andrew Luck was there, he understood his place, but he prepared himself like he was going to be the starter each and every week. And that's just talking to folks around the NFL and how he carries himself as a professional. He was always ready to play. So when it happened with Luck, he was ready to step in, and I think you're seeing exactly how he's playing, taking care of the football, very knowledgeable of what Frank Reich wants done offensively, and he's got a lot of help and a lot of weapons around him.
Andre Ware joining us on Texans Radio. Andre, when the Raiders beat the Colts at their place this year, they ran the ball for over 180 yards, so not a shocker that the Texans are going to feature this in their game plan in all likelihood.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the game plan. This might be the quickest or one of the fastest games that you and I have had a chance to broadcast because of the styles that are meeting, so to speak. And they get Darius Leonard back. That's going to help a lot in terms of their run defense. I think another defensive back, maybe a safety's coming back from injury this week as well. But that's certainly going to help what they do in terms of their overall defensive package. So it won't be quite as easy. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as easy as it was last week in terms of being able to run the football against the way you ran it against Kansas City. This is a good, sound, young defensive group that's going to continue to get better. They have a nice influx of some veterans sprinkled with some second, third-year players, a very young group that bodes well for them.
Andre Ware joining us. Dre, Ryan Tannehill's now the starting quarterback in Nashville for the Tennessee Titans. Your thoughts on that move by that franchise?
Yeah, I think they're looking for a spark and just weren't getting it. Inconsistent play at that spot for some time with Marcus Mariota, whether it's been through injuries, whether it's been through injuries around him, so on and so forth. But he'd be, you know, Tennessee would look like they were ready to turn the corners, and then he would have one of his games and they would take a step back. So he kind of saw this one coming. It's ironic that, you know, both guys were first-round picks, and Tannehill stepping in, who looked good in the preseason for Tennessee, that so much so that they have no reservations about installing him as the starter. So I think when you look at it, does the team respond? I think they very well might, because they're looking for different results as they work hard each and every week to prepare for games on Sunday.
What'd you think of that Jalen Ramsey trade as Ramsey leaves the Jags and goes to the Rams, and the Jags get a couple of number one draft choices out of the deal?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Rams aren't afraid to spend money and do what people think that they would be a little bit apprehensive of doing. They would do it like in Ndamukong Suh last year. Everybody thought that, oh, he might be a problem, this, that, and the other, and he ends up there and played very well for him. So I like the aggressive style in which they run their personnel department, and it was just sooner or later it was going to have to come to a head. Ramsey was finding reasons not to be on the field. I guess the last game was his back, and I'm sure he'll be just fine this week, and when his back will have healed up, and he'll be in the lineup for the Rams. But almost to a lesser degree, kind of glad to have him out of the division because he's one of the better cover men in the entire league. So we'll see him every once in a while with the Rams, but it's good to get him out of the division where we don't see him twice a year.
All right, Dre, I'm going to throw a curveball, pardon the pun, at you because the baseball playoffs in full swing, ALCS, Astros and Yankees going at it. You played this game and you were actually drafted, but let me throw this one at you. Baseball is, and I was talking to Bill O'Brien about this, it's so stressful, the amount of time between the pitches, the pressure on some of these pitches. What are your thoughts, having played quarterback at such a high level, what are your thoughts on what the pitcher is going through mentally when he's trying to get a really tough out on the mound?
It's, you know, you can, pitchers are wired a little differently. Some are calm. It's like playing quarterback. It's a good parallel. Because some are very calm and even keel, and you're just trying to get from pitch to pitch, work the strike zone, knowing the scouting report on each and every batter, what one guy doesn't like as opposed to the next guy that you're going to face, and you're just taking them one by one. Just like as a quarterback, you know, you can't get too high when you when you're throwing touchdown passes. You can't get too low when you throw an interception. But it just takes a finite skill of just going from one to the next, putting pitches together. Do you have your best stuff that day, trying to find what's working today? Because very rarely, and I'll even throw another parallel in golf, it's like very rarely do you have all components working together. Your drive, your short game, your irons, and your putter working together. It's about 2 weeks out of the year is how I like to kind of analogize that. But with a pitcher, it's that way sometimes. Some games you're going to have it all, and some games you're going to have two out of three pitches or maybe one out of the three that you got to lean on. You just got to find ways to get guys out. But the overall common thread is just you have to remain calm and in the moment. Every pitch matters.
I must not be playing golf during the 2 weeks out of the year where I have everything together. I'm missing those weeks, Dre. Darn it.
I miss them too, man. Trust me, I miss them.
That's going on in November and I'm not playing. Darn it. Okay, one more for you. Where are you at in college football this week?
Headed up to Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Tulsa, who just almost took down an undefeated SMU team a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And played very well in a triple overtime game that was eventually lost. But they're headed up to Cincinnati, a team that's 5-1, playing real well, and has got a chance to really run the table. The only loss, an ugly loss to Ohio State, but in my mind, I think Ohio State might be the best team in the country right now. You know how I feel about bye weeks, and they had a bye week last week. We'll see if they can ramp it up and get themselves going again. But before that bye week, I don't know that there was anybody in the country that was playing any better football than Ohio State. That's the only loss on the Cincinnati schedule. Luke Fickell has done an outstanding job now in his third year there. So my second trip there, looking forward to it. I know where all the good food is, so I'll be visiting a couple of restaurants there.
Well, you could almost drive to Indy from there. I mean,
yeah, I could, but
you won't.
when the game's over and I'm mentally worn down, I'm going to get in a seat and let a pilot fly me in and make my way to the hotel that night.
All right, very good. Thanks for joining us, my friend, and safe travels.
All right, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it for the podcast today. Thanks to Andre for being on and Matt Taylor, the voice of the Colts. Texans and Indy on the road Sunday at noon. Cannot wait for that. Hey, check out all the other podcasts wherever you got this one or wherever fine podcasts are available. Have a great day, everyone, and go Texans.